Kiss and Tell. Written by Alain de Botton and read by Nicholas Bell. Whatever one's experience of this globe and its inhabitants, however impartial one's judgment and varied one's acquaintance, it would be no surprise if the most enchanting person one had yet encountered, someone whose tastes in love and literature, religion and recreation, dirty jokes and household hygiene, all lay beyond reproach, whose setbacks were capable of eliciting inexhaustible concern and pity, whose dawn halitosis was the grounds for no quiet shudder, and whose view of humanity seemed neither cruel nor naive, one might, without presumption, suggest this person to be none other than oneself. However gloomy the thought may strike those of ethical disposition, there is a difference between letting it bubble discreetly in one's mind while squeezing an orange or skimming through the channels of late-night television, and hearing it confirmed in the fury of another's accusation, along with a couple of vases sent crashing to the ground to emphasize the point. The charm of self-inflicted insults comes in knowing how far to dig the knife and, with a surgeon's precision, how to avoid the rawest nerves. It is as harmless a sport as trying to tickle oneself. When Elton John sang a beautiful love song in which he lamented to his beloved, in the well-worn tradition of singers and moist-eyed poets, that he only wished his art could do justice to his ardour, "Your Song, 1969, we would be foolish to suppose that he doubted his talent for even a moment. The ability to deprecate his musical skill was premised on an apparently humble but profoundly arrogant belief that he had in fact written something of a gem. As Dr. Johnson remarked of those self-administered insults, they are a pleasant sport, for they allow a man, aphorisms appear to find no room for women until at least the middle of the 20th century, to show how much he can spare. What musical confidence it must take to sing melodiously one has not a jot of it. What greater assurance could one attain than casually to spare the thought one is a self-centred churl? Johnsonian deprecation appears as a branch of the cocksure, "look mum, no hand" cycling boast, in which the need to keep a firm grip on the handlebars of self-respect can temporarily be relaxed, so one can freewheel down the hill shouting merrily, "I'm such a lousy singer," and "oh, what a brat I am." But as soon as it floats out of another's mouth, a previously cute deprecation develops sharper claws.